You're listening to WMIE, Coco, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Coco Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker. I am Pastor Paul Esposito. I'm the senior pastor here at Island Community Church, and I welcome you. Happy Monday to you. Thanks for taking 30 minutes of your Monday to join me as we together study the Word of Almighty God. We are in the second part of this sermon that started on Friday. And it's entitled, God Pleasers, or Are You a God Pleaser? You know, it's funny, I preached this a year ago, and yet it's right out of today's paper. From the various things that I read about what's going on in the baseball at Dodger Stadium. They were about to host an event hosted by a wicked group of transvestites that made fun of the Catholic religion. And people stood up against it. Even the baseball team stood up against it. But then the pressure came from Satan and his peeps. And some people backed down. The organization backed down. They flip-flopped. And it's just a timely message that you and I live in this evil, ungodly world. And there's a lot of pressure on you to cave. And my question is, are you a God pleaser or a man pleaser? I read about a baseball player on another team who made a stand and stood up for the right thing. Then the pressure came on him and he backtracked. He got up. He apologized for his righteousness. Are you a God pleaser or a man pleaser? Let's get into part two now of this message.
Now, some groups try to add to that. This is what happened. I'm skipping ahead of myself. Forgive me if I read it again later. This is what happened in this church. Paul had everything right, and then he left town because he was a missionary. And then while he's down over here doing whatever he's doing, it's like the first couple words I wrote on the handout there. You see that? Spy. Sneak. Sneak in. Spy out. People crept in the back door, you see, and they corrupted the church there. Judaizers. Those that told the church that what Jesus did on the cross was not good enough. You men need to be circumcised, like Abraham and Moses. You need to not eat pork. Or shellfish. Sorry, Captain. And you need to keep the Old Testament law. That's the rub of this. That's the rub. That's the problem here. Paul is preaching salvation is by grace. There's no rules you have to do to be right with God. Your faith is what's needed to be right with God, not rules. Because you can't keep rules. How much you want to bet? How much you want to bet you can't keep rules? Anyone want to take me up on that? What do you know? No volunteers. Here's how the NIV reads. Sorry, Stephen, the old NIV. He said, I'm astonished that you were so quickly deserting. Now, there's a good word for us military folk. You're a deserter. I love that translation. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in grace of Christ, and you're turning to a different gospel, verse 7, which is really no gospel at all. You see, now they took what, you know, the paraphrase, but they made it. That's brilliant to capture what he meant by that. That's no gospel at all. You giving money to the church, there's no gospel. How about all the poor people out here that don't have any money? That's anathema to God, to think that you can add anything to the blood of Christ. It's good news for the rich, not for the poor. To everyone else, that's not good news. The good news is even the poor people can have, even those that don't have two nickels to rub together, can have their names written in the book of life and know when they die and leave this world, they're going up and not down. Without having a cent to their name. The good news is this, Paul wrote, the message of the cross, I'm in 1 Corinthians 1:18, it's foolishness to those that are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it's the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise? Where is the teacher of the law? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since, in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of preaching to save those who believe. Jews demand a sign. Greeks look after wisdom. But we preach Jesus Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. All right, back to our text here. Notice Paul pronounces the curse again, in case you missed it, verse 9. As we've said before, so now I say it again, if anyone preaches any other gospel than what you've received, let him be cursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, then I would not be a bondservant of Christ. No one can ever call the Apostle Paul a people pleaser. Now, if you are a God pleaser, now hear me here, church. If you are a God pleaser, once people find out about it, you're toast. You're toast. And the world will hate you. Look, once people find out you believe that a woman can't marry her cat, or that two men cannot get married because you stand with God, that he is the originator of marriage. I wrote on the handout, it says the law of first mention. That's Genesis 2:24. Therefore, a man will leave his father and mother and be joined to his W-I-F-E, wife, and they shall become one flesh. That's in the first book of the Bible. Once people find out you believe Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. You're toast if people find out you believe that. Really, we're trying to ascertain here today, church, as to whether or not you are a God pleaser or a people pleaser. Where do you stand? Amen. Individual question. Lord, I pray as we go through this, you convict us all. Show us where we missed the mark. We all missed the mark somewhere. Reveal to our innermost spirit now where we've deceived ourselves, where we think we got it right when in fact we don't have it right. Lord, continue to speak to us here now, this morning. In Jesus' name, we ask these things. Amen. Amen. Once people find out you believe John 14:6, where Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No person comes to the Father except through me. Thank you, Jesus. There's an eyewitness. Are you? That's an example of a... You don't have to be Moses to be a God-pleaser. You believe him at his word. Makes you a God-pleaser. And you do what he says. Even when the heat is turned up on you from your friends and people you work with. Oh, you don't believe any of that stuff. They ran Richie out of Massachusetts, believing and standing with the word of God. Once people find out, this is probably the greatest of all. Once people find out that you believe it's disgraceful for a man to marry a man, you are toast in this world. You are forever outcast. Or you can go to remedial training and be retrained. That's the truth. Any one of you here that, never mind, I'll stop right there. Again, the question's out there, who do you believe? Do you believe God? Yes. See, there's a misunderstanding here, and that is that the Congress didn't invent marriage. There's a quaint little tidbit of truth here. That is that God invented marriage. That's why it's in the first book of the Bible. That's why it's in the second chapter. After he made everything, is a man is to leave his mother and his father and be joined to his wife and start a family. Now, that does not come from me. That comes from God. And as I like to say, Darren, you fall in or you fall out. Right out through the doors. But you're not doubting me if you leave. You're doubting the word of God. And indeed, you'll find out that you're a people pleaser. But if you're a people pleaser, the good news is you can change that today. You don't have to remain one. Make it right. That's all. You just make it right. Make it right. I spent 45 minutes in here repenting this morning. You make it right. That's all. We all sin and fall short of the glory of God. If you've done that, you just make it right. That's why his blood is so powerful. Amen. It can even forgive someone like me and you. If you find yourself that you have been influenced by this evil world out here, make it right. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. He'll make it right. His blood is powerful enough to obliterate your sins. God says, when I forgive your sins, Richie, I don't remember them anymore. God has got amnesia with your sins. He doesn't remember them anymore. Man, I'm ready for some ribs and football today. How about you? See what you missed when you don't come to church? God wants you to feel good. This is a feel-good church. You come here, you listen to what he says, you take and accept your truth from him and him alone. We fall in line, repent when we need to repent. Proverbs says a righteous man picks himself up 7 times. Make it right and go out the door and go about your day. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's good news. People pleasers. Those that are people pleasers are what Paul's going to call later the enemies of the cross. Whose side are you on? Now, as for me and my house, right, like Joshua said, we will serve the Lord. And I'm so grateful to see that in 100% of our church family out here too as well. Otherwise, you guys would have ran me out of here a long time ago. Onward. Verse 11. Now, Paul's defending himself to the Galatians because they tried to discredit him after he left. Verse 11, he said, but I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which was preached to me was not according to man. Look what he says next. I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. What a revelation that is. He's saying that when you read this, you can rest assured that he didn't read someone else's commentary. And also, he's telling you, he is aware that he's writing the Bible. He's aware he's writing the Bible. He knows it. He's telling you, I didn't read this in Vernon McGee's 5-volume set. He is saying, I wasn't taught this from a man. I wasn't taught this from men. I received what he's telling you comes from a direct revelation from God to him, to them, to me, to you. Think about all the things that he said, that he wrote, that came from him and not from a book. How about this? We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. He didn't read that in a commentary. God told him. He told him to tell the people there in the church. How about this? He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ, or until we have a funeral for you here, or me, and you leave this world. He didn't read that in a commentary. God gave it to him. This is direct. This is the word of God, direct from him to Paul's lips, to the church, to mine, as the preacher here today, to you. This is not out of a commentary. It's out of the word of God. That's good news. I neither received it from men, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, bear in mind, Paul wrote 13 or 14 books of the New Testament. We've got the assurance everything he writes comes from a direct revelation from Jesus Christ. Not only that, we could go back to the Old Testament if you want. Let's read through the Psalms if you want. What did David say? 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 1. He says this, the Holy Spirit spoke by me, and his words were on my tongue. What a great verse that is. You're not reading something David made up on the fly. Those are the direct words of God to David. David was a supernatural. David was the greatest prophet who ever lived. He says, these aren't my words you're hearing. The Holy Spirit spoke through me, and his words were on my tongue. Peter said, holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Next time you're down, read the word of God and you'll be up. Amen. You're going through a problem, you're going through something in your life, read the word of God. He'll see you through it. The word of God is living and active, sharper than any sword. It'll cut right through you and cut like a knife. But do what he says and you'll have the victory every time. Every time. Okay. Verse 13. Testimony time. You have heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure, and I even tried to destroy it. One translation says I wasted it. Sounds like me before I was saved. Oh, wait a minute. This is the guy that wrote 14 books of the New Testament. I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, being much more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my fathers. So remember what Paul did before he ran into Jesus one day on the Damascus Road. Acts 8:3, it says, Saul began to destroy the church, and he went from house to house, dragging off both men and women, and put them into prison. Now, verse 15, look at what happened to Paul. It says, he wrote here, when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the Gentiles. All right, let's stop there. Paul said, when it pleased God. You see, not when it pleased him, but when it pleased God. And shockingly, you see, more bad things had to happen to good people before that was going to happen. Because that's the way it goes. Again, I just read it to you. Saul began to destroy the church, going from house to house, dragging out men and women, putting them into prison. But do you see what I'm saying to you this morning? And that is, Paul said, when it pleased God, he finally saw the light and became a believer. But in the meantime, God took Paul's sin and turned it around for good, because that's what God does, and he'll do the same for you. Your worst misstep, your greatest mistake, God can take that and turn it around for good. That's what he does. Are you dealing with something, a heavy burden here this morning? A heavy guilt, heavy burden, heart? Leave it here this morning. Give it to God. And he can take and turn that around for one of your greatest victories. Even in the Old Testament, Joseph, when we read about him, son of Jacob, listen to what he said to his brothers. Look at his great insight. After Joseph was finally reunited with his evil brothers, remember, he was sold into slavery. He said this, Genesis 45:8. He says, so now it was not you who sent me here, but God. Now keep in mind, his brothers lied about him. They told their father that his favorite son was torn to pieces by animals. He says that God arranged it, not them. And Joseph said this. He says, but as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about as it is this day, to save many people alive. This is my point. Is when it pleased God, he wrote. God is working behind the scenes, even if you don't understand it, to bring about good in your life. Just because you don't understand it, it doesn't mean God's not at work. He's at work in your life if you love him. All things will work together for good to a certain group of people. Not everyone. It's to those who love God. All things work together for good to those that love God. To those who are this way. Right? I am the light. All who follow after me will not walk in darkness. That's the call. Jesus said, here I am, come this way. All who follow after me will not walk in darkness. Anyway, Joseph said God was responsible for all the bad things that happened to him. He was lied on. He was sold to the Ishmaelites. He was sold to Egypt, falsely accused of rape, thrown into a dungeon for years. And he says, it wasn't you that did this and put me here. He says, God did it. Are you undergoing a serious trial right now in your life? Two things to remember, perhaps three. Number one, when it pleased God, that's when the tides will turn for you. Just keep in memory that God is working in your life and beyond, accomplishing his grand master plan for you. Not when it pleased you. You see, when Paul did this, when Paul went and started dragging Christians away, the Bible says the gospel spread north, south, east, and west. God took Paul's sin and spread the gospel around the whole known world because of sin. He took sin in his life and turned it around for good, and he'll do the same for you today. He'll take your sin and turn it around for good. So 168 hours in the week, 5 minutes. Let's take 5 minutes today, being alone with God. Matter of fact, we need to do that here as we leave here in a minute. We'll take 5 minutes out of 168 hours. So number one, when it pleased God, not when it pleased you. Number two, all things work together for good. Again, the words of Joseph, as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good. Lastly, point number three is your castor oil or broccoli, depending on how you receive it. And that would be James chapter 1, verse 2. It says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you face trials. One translation says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you fall. When you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. So my question to you today is, are you in God's dark room today? Are you in God's dark room? Answer, encouragement, wait on the Lord. He will develop his pictures. He will take the negatives of your life and turn them into a positive, a beautiful print. A beautiful print. When it pleased God. Reminds me of that verse. It's Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Help me out, Lord. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, that we should walk in them. It's funny, that Greek word for workmanship, it's the word poema, where our word poem comes from. And that's what we are. He who has begun a good... Now, this is not from a manual. It's not from a dictionary. It's not from an encyclopedia. It's from the mouth of Jesus Christ to you. He, that would be me, him, who has begun a good work in you, will complete it.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. And I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hand than to